The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
great pleasure. Sorry, I did well to keep a straight face at the end of that cash machine read, because I looked up to the TV screen in the corner here on Sky News, and the great Mary Kennedy was trying to sell me some products from Wilshire Farm Foods. And who was sitting in studio with me? Only Mary herself.
It's assault from all sides.
Yeah, exactly. Mary Kennedy in 3D. So listen, the reason you're here is not to sell me food. It's to talk about books and to place your favourite read up there. Ian O'Doherty was our victim last week. The Role by Cormac McCarthy. He placed up on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. So it's a difficult question often to answer, isn't it? Like, I mean, what's the one book you would pick above any other? Or was it an easy one to answer for you?
I don't know. It's not really a totally easy one, because there are books that are so meaningful and enjoyable for so many different reasons. But there's two that are really special to me. And one many people will be familiar with, The Long Road to Freedom by Nelson Mandela, which I read on holidays, almost in one go, because now it's a big book, about 800 pages in it, but it's a page turner, if you actually, you know, if you can think of that, even though there's so much politics. But I love Africa as well as that. But the one, if I had to pick between the two, and because I'm Irish and because I'm a woman and because this person meant so much to me, now you're going to hate this, Kieran.
Oh, go on. Who is it?
Especially if you did your Leaving Cert before 1995, when it was taken off the Leaving Cert course. It's Peg.
Oh my God!
Did you actually
we
come
did
across
Peg?
The,
we did Peg
did
in the Leaving
you?
Cert. Yeah,
yeah. And so, what was your impression?
And the worst thing is, it was optional by the time I did the Leaving Cert.
And
Miss King, she'll never be forgiven. Poor old Miss King for deciding that we should do Peg.
Oh well. Look, can I tell you about it from my point of view first, and then I'll
PTSD.
Ask you.
PTSD. Go on.
I studied Peg in school, and then I went on to become an Irish teacher in secondary school. So I was teaching Peg. And then I realised when I was teaching Peg that I had actually, you know, appreciated her and admired her even as a fifth and sixth year student. I could visualise, which means, well, she was renowned as a storyteller, and this is her memoir, which she recited to her son. But the stories are so vivid. I cannot go down, I love that part of Kerry, but because of that connection, she was a woman of resilience. She became a Colley Naimshree, you know, a little domestic servant in Dingle. I cannot go down to Dingle without going into Curran's shop to pay homage to her there. I've had the good fortune of staying on the Great Blasket and staying in her house a couple of summers ago, which was really special. But the way that she dealt with things, the way, actually, I can remember the opening lines of Peg, and I don't have the book because
what
it's up in the
then?
Attic somewhere. Shan vana shan mishig will koseki and sonuig agus an kosella in a brook. So I am an old woman with one foot in the grave and the other foot on its edge. Era brook. And then she goes on to recount her story. And then the final words are, ni vegor lehe de rishton. And that's what's written on her tombstone, which I do visit when I go down to Kerry. She epitomised making do and getting on with people and getting on with her own life. She was actually supposed to go to America. Her friend, Coach Jim, who you will remember from the book, had an American wake and said she would send her the passage, which was the norm in the day. But Coach Jim had an accident, couldn't send back the money. So she was married off to what turned out to be a very gentle fisherman. She was a strong woman and she was renowned as a storyteller. She had 11 children. She had six of them survived. And she here's another line from it. One of her sons, you know, the way they didn't learn to swim, because the reason being that, as she told us during the book, the sea will have its own. So it was better not to be resistant to the sea when you're out fishing.
What I found remarkable about it, and I guess my experience of it is probably like a lot of people's, it was just coloured by the fact you're learning it for an exam. You know what I mean? And you're not really absorbing it as you would any other book that you pick up and read. But what I found remarkable was just how recent that was, the reality of life in parts of Ireland. I mean, it reads like something kind of from kind of a pre-industrial time. And I guess it was, to an extent, a pre-industrial time. It just shows how large parts of Ireland were pre-industrial in the early 20th century.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it was the 1950s, the last people left the Blasket Island, because it was just too difficult.
Yeah.
And she left, I think, earlier than that. But she ended up in the in the hospital in Dingle, and she died in 1958. But she, did you not feel that you could visualise the kind of the countryside and the main street in Dingle and the hustle and bustle and the, you're looking at me blankly, Ciarán.
No, you know what as well though, I didn't know Dingle, I'd never been there, and I think maybe it might have helped had I had some maybe frame of reference. Maybe if Peg had just been from Kilkenny or something like that, it might have been easier for me.
Might have been the same outlook. They're a little bit more sophisticated in Kilkenny now than that is true.
You know, but the other thing that I like that struck me about it at the time was how big the world was. And I'm not just talking about the American Wake, but just going from kind of Dunquin to the Blaskets, and like people would move once in their life and they would never go back.
Yeah,
they would never see Dunquin again. That was
it.
No, that's only up the road.
I know. But it was just so problematic to get over and to get over safely. I mean, I can remember they were going over to get supplies for a funeral. And I mean, it took ages because of the heavy seas, you know, and they were in Crooks. They were in Crooks.
Yeah.
And many of them drowned. Like, I think two of her sons drowned, and the remaining ones, they all ended up in America. So there just wasn't anything for them here. She had great. She was very stoic. Now, there's people who feel that she was the epitome of a horn. She was a moan. And do you remember, I think it was in the 90s, there was a kind of a satirical program. It was after Scratch Saturday. And Alan Short, I remember, was one of the presenters of it. And he used to do a parody of Peg. It was this woman and she was complaining in a minute. And the water, the waves used to be splashing up on the face. It was hilarious. But I have great regard for her.
Yeah.
I think she's a really strong Irish woman, hugely, you know, imbued with our culture, our heritage, our language. The Munster dialect of Irish is the one I like the most. It's the one I know, and I just find it so poetic.
And I guess she captured a kind of a reality of like just as it changed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She lived it.
Yeah, she was the last generation to live life like that, really. When she died in the 1950s?
1958, yeah. So she spent, I suppose, the last 6 or 7 years of her life in the hospital.
So nobody really born after her experienced life like she did, whereas entire generations did kind of beforehand.
Yeah. I mean, the population of the Great Blasket at the time of its, of the time of the leaving was 22. Mm. But it would have been, I mean, there's a row there if you ever go and visit now. There's her house, there's the schoolhouse, there was all the Bohontiocht houses.
Yeah.
Another place that's great for that kind of thing is the deserted village in Achill, which has about 100 ruins of about 100 houses.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Again, they came down, they didn't all die, but they came down from the hills at the time of the famine so that they could fish.
God, it's still such a tough life though, out in the islands. Like, I remember being out in Tory a few years ago, and I was out there. I flew
it's
out with the Air Corps.
It
was amazing. Yeah, for an election. You know, they'll vote the day in advance. So it was great getting a lift from Casement all the way up by helicopter and landing in Donegal and then out to pick up the returning officer and then out to Tory. But I remember being out there and just thinking, like, it's one thing to be here kind of with the hustle and bustle of an election, but a kind of bleak day in February. I mean, it's difficult.
Well, my sister lives on Inishmore now, which is probably, it is, of course, the biggest of
that's
the Aran
Islands. That's kind of trendy, though.
Well, she's been living there now for a long time, but but the thing, she still has to be conscious. You know, she could have arranged to take the plane off the island, and then the plane wouldn't fly, so you would end up taking the boat, but your car would be at the airport. You know, that kind of way, those kind of logistical. But I think it's worth it.
I remember getting that plane out to Inishmore a few years ago, and there was only one other lad on the plane, and he had a summons. He was at the district court, was sitting. He'd been working on the island. Won't say what he did, but he was a bit of a bold boy the year before and had to fly back for his court appearance. Anyway.
Yeah.
So listen, Peg, Pride of Place up on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf.
I think so. I hope people who come in subsequently will appreciate it.
I'm sure they will. And The Long Walk to Freedom as well.
Oh,
and
my goodness, Mandela. What an amazing man.
Notable mention. What are you reading at the moment?
At the moment, I generally have a fiction and a non-fiction on the go together. And at the moment, I'm reading Primetime, Jane Fonda. I have a huge... Now, it's funny because this is a woman who is from a worlds apart, but still has the same, you know, can-do attitude and the same positive mentality. She has been through horrors in her life. So it's a memoir, and it's about, you know, aging well. And you know what's interesting? And you know, realizing how valuable we are as members of society as we age. And the, she has a graph in it at one point. And it's, you know, the way you start with a child, it's almost like an arc. You are very young, then you reach maturity, and then you kind of get older. And it's almost like a, you know, like a rainbow.
Yeah.
And it has a beginning and an end. She has, her mentality is that you don't take that as your yardstick. You work as a ladder. So you start young and you go higher and higher and higher and higher, so that in your 80s, you're in your prime, and you work towards that with health and stuff. So that's the non-fiction one, and I really have great admiration for her. And then I love Irish writers, Kieran. Yeah. I love the Sheila Flanagans, the Marion Keys, all of those. Every time something comes out, I can't wait now to get my hands on Emily Horican's latest one about the Guinness Girls. At the moment I'm reading one I was given by my daughter, by Lucinda Riley. She's from Northern Ireland, and she wrote the Sisters series, and I haven't read any of her books, but at the moment I'm reading The Hidden Girl, and oh my goodness, I cannot put it down. I'm doing nothing else at the moment. I'm just reading it.
Ah, well, you're doing a podcast, we should mention.
Yes, that's true. Yeah,
so Changing Times, The Alan Wood Conversations, yourself and Mary McAleese. Are you enjoying them?
Oh yeah, we've done one series, one season of 20 episodes, and they're kind of in a library now, which I like the idea of podcasts, that you can, you know, go in and out and check the ones you want to listen to. And we started now in season two, and we've had a wonderful reaction to them. But, you know, as we say ourselves, we're both interested in people, and we both can talk.
Well, it's handy for a podcast. Handy for a podcast. Mary, it's been really lovely chatting to you.
I enjoyed it as well, Kieran.
Yeah,
thanks very much
for coming in to us. Mary Kennedy there. And as she said, Changing Times, The Alan Wood Conversations, available wherever you get your podcasts.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.